I just want to start tonight by, first of all, thanking the musicians. I'd be in trouble in two homes if I didn't say thanks to them. So thank you very much. Thank you, Christopher, for leading and all who have taken part today. It's great that we can have a youth that are willing to take part, that are willing to do the service of God, even on Youth Sunday. And the last people I want to thank is I want to thank you. You know, the Bible says, ask and ye shall receive, and I know in my own heart that you are a praying people and you have prayed for this youth of this church and that they will go on with God and that God would move amongst the youth of our church. And even in recent years, God has definitely moved in the youth in our church. People wanting to go on with God more than they ever have done. And it's only by your own prayer that the youth are like this. And there's no length that you wouldn't go to facilitate the youth of this church. And I want to thank you that you're a praying congregation and that you have the youth in mind. Luke chapter 18. This is a Bible story that, as we've all grown up, we have heard whenever we've been in Sunday school, whenever we've been under the ministry. We hear about the miracles and the work of Christ whenever he was on earth. We read of such passages as raising Lazarus from the dead, walking on water, and healing the sick. And in this passage, he now heals a blind man. Whilst his name is not given in this gospel, the man's name is Bartimaeus. I had planned this whole sermon referring to Bartimaeus, and it was only this morning Chris told me his name doesn't actually appear. I completely looked past it, so thank you, Chris. But what we have described in this passage is, by all means, a miracle. Now, what is a miracle? A miracle is a surpassing of human possibility and boundaries of nature to perform something so impossible that, like the disciples in the boat that day, we call unto God and we say, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. It's a validation of his heavenly heritage that Christ is the Son of God. And here's why, because he can do wonders and he can do miracles. But whilst it is a validation of his kingship, of his holiness, a miracle is not just a display of power. It's not just a display of what Christ can do and he'll show off his glory in this way. It's not to awe and amaze. A miracle is set out there to teach, to show men something. It's significant to our souls. Why would Christ heal a blind man? I mean, an example of this, if I was to turn you to the feeding of the 5,000, which I'll not, we read of the feeding of the 5,000. It's one of the most well-known miracles that Christ performed, and it's found in all four Gospels, so it must be of some significance if all of these writers wrote it down. But what does the feeding of the 5,000 teach us? If I read that passage and I wanted to better myself and to go on with the Lord, what does the feeding of the 5,000 teach me? First of all, it teaches me that Christ supplies my every need. You know, those men, that Christ saw their physical need, Christ saw what they needed that day and he provided for them. Secondly, a miracle came when someone gave their all. And in Jeremiah 33 and the verse 3, it says, call upon me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And this miracle could only take place when a young believer gave his all. Thirdly, the people didn't receive a small blessing from God, but they were filled. These men were satisfied. Their soul was filled because of God. Fourthly, our resources are never too small to be enlisted in the service of God. You might think that your social boundaries are too small, that you'll never actually reach anyone. But there was only a wee lad with his lunch, and through it, a mighty work was done. You know, we can also see that God sent his disciples out to distribute the food. Why is that significant? We can only give as Christ has given us. We can only stand here and preach the gospel by the grace of God that he has taught it to us. And we can only give as we have received. And we can only receive by earnest prayer and supplication. And to summarize the whole miracle, little is much when God is in it. So we can see that from a miracle that Christ has done, we can draw spiritual application from it. And we can glean so much from the work and miracles of Christ if we just go a little deeper. So with that in mind, what of our text? Jesus heals a blind man. So many people in the scriptures saw Jesus, but they never knew of his glory. So many people witnessed his miracles, yet failed to believe. So many people were healed, yet they failed to praise. It took a blind man to see in Jesus what everybody else had missed. I want to preach tonight on what the blind man saw. Firstly, I want to look at the condition of the man. And I have four sub-points because I'm a Free Presbyterian. First of all, this man had a disability. Bartimaeus was unable to live and walk in the same way that the crowd around him were living and walking. His life was filled with darkness. It was filled with a void. And every day he had to stumble and struggle as he made his way onto this busy street between Jericho and Jerusalem. And he would he'd be shoved and pushed along the way. He was disabled. He was unable of earning money, unable of having a family, and unable of finding happiness. And this man was suffering due to his disability. You know, not only was he disabled, but he was in darkness. This was a man whose eyes had never seen the beauties of nature. Instead of fixing his eyes on a goal and what he wanted to do, Bartimaeus never opened his eyes when he woke from sleep, and his entire days were filled with darkness, clinging and crying for help. You know, thirdly, he was a man who was disregarded. Look at the verse 36. Verse 36, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Men and women were walking by Bartimaeus. They didn't bother with him. He was at the wayside begging, and he was left there. Not one person cared, not one person turned to him and gave him any money, but men passed by, talking one amongst the other. This man listened and he heard the stories that they were talking to each other. His friends would walk to Jerusalem, to Jericho. He would hear of their laughter. He would hear of the many stories they would tell each other of what they'd been doing that day, but he would never experience that laughter himself. He would never experience that joy himself. And who remembered Bartimaeus when they went to bed at night? Nobody. The multitude must have saw him and heard him, but they cast him off as a vagrant and a lost cause. We've seen that Bartimaeus was disabled, that he was in darkness, and that he was disregarded. But fourthly, he was a man headed for eternal damnation. Bartimaeus had no thought for his soul. If you read this passage, that he sat at the wayside begging, he wasn't in the temple praying. He wasn't at home seeking the Lord in the scripture, but instead he was caring more for his physical needs. And up until the point where he sees Jesus, there's no mention of his soul, no mention that he was following God. I wonder tonight, as we look at his condition, are we in the exact same position that he was once in? I'm not talking, are we biologically blind, but we all know that we've been born with a disease and that we've been born into darkness. You know, I spoke of his disability, and we are all unable to ever attain unto heaven, ever attain unto glory, and ever to attain the favor of God. We are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The Bible teaches us that we all have a condition like Bartimaeus. It's called sin. Sin puts us in darkness, and due to our sin and our evil nature, we are of our own means eternally separated from God. You know, I'll rattle through a couple of scriptures that just show the very nature of man and how in sin he is. Job 5 in the verse 7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. Psalm 51, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Romans 3 verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Ecclesiastes 7:20, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And that one we all learned in Sunday school, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Like Bartimaeus, we're all unable to walk in the way that we should be walking. Like Bartimaeus, we're all in darkness, and the light is not in us. Like Bartimaeus, we're degraded, and we live in a harsh and a sinful world. Yet notice what Bartimaeus does. He doesn't accept this as his fate. He doesn't accept this as, I'll live the rest of my life in darkness. But he finds hope in the name of Jesus. I wonder, as you sit tonight and as you know your sin and as you know your own weakness before God, do you find hope in the name of Christ? Do you hear of Christ passing by and it thrills your soul and you want to praise and you want to pray unto God? Or do you sit and do you wallow in your sin? Bartimaeus found hope in the name of Jesus and knew that he would never be alone because Jesus alone was his only Savior. Maybe like Bartimaeus, that you've been living in darkness. The Gospel of John in the chapter 3 in the verse 19 says, men love darkness rather than light. Maybe like Bartimaeus, you've been in many a meeting where it's discussed that Christ is coming. And that's a very real reality, and I want you to understand the gravity of that statement, that Christ is coming. And you're at the wayside here today, and as you sit in that pew, you know your own weakness before God. Bartimaeus heard that Christ was coming, and he called out. You know, the verse just in front of me there, as you leave the church tonight, will say, it is time to seek the Lord. And that's what Bartimaeus did. I wonder, as you know your weakness before God, is that what you'll do? Will you cry unto God? Will you accept your weakness, accept your failure, accept that you were born in sin and there's nothing you can do to get to heaven and rest your all on the crucified? You know, not only do I want to look at his condition, but I want to look at his cry. Bartimaeus simply was not content. If we are content in our sin, there is something massively wrong in our soul. If we're not grieved by our sin, there's something so, so wrong in us that needs to be fixed. But Bartimaeus was not content. Every day he spent in darkness. Every day he spent alone, and he wanted to change. He accepted his weaknesses, and he knew his shortcomings, and he knew of his disability. He needed Jesus to tell him, to heal him, sorry. Bartimaeus cried to Jesus, and I want you to notice the crowd who followed Jesus. What do they say? Look at the verse 36, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. So here we have Bartimaeus asking what is going on. And in verse 37, and they told him, they being the crowd, that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Now notice how the crowd identified Christ simply by where he was from. They did not know of his eternal glory. They were following him because he was famous in Judea. He was famous in where they were living. And they just simply identified him as a man who was living in this area, who was going about doing good. But look at how Bartimaeus identifies Christ. The verse after, the verse 38, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus recognized Jesus' holy heritage. He recognized his lineage. It had been prophesied in the Old Testament that Christ would come of the line of David. And Bartimaeus knew his scripture. And it all came rushing back, and he realized that Christ was his only Redeemer, and he was from the line of David, that Jesus was in fact the Son of God. You know, this was a truth that even the disciples forgot from time to time. This was a truth that the disciples constantly needed reminded. And here's a blind man looking to Christ and seeing his glory. Notice three things about Bartimaeus' cry. Firstly, his cry, it was persevering. Bartimaeus didn't receive an answer from Christ straight away. He cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 39, and they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, Barabbas' prayer, Barabbas' plea unto God was not answered straight away. And what was the world's response? The world's response was give up. Stop trying. You'll never make Christ turn around. What would Christ ever want with you? Maybe in this meeting tonight, you've wanted to call upon Christ. You've wanted to change your life. You've wanted to be a Christian and to live for God. And you've let the world say, what would Christ ever want with you? You've worried that, what would my friends say? What would the crowd say if I was to turn to Christ? Did it bother Bartimaeus? It didn't. Often when our prayers seem unanswered, we give up on prayer and try to do things our own way. But Bartimaeus faced opposition. Bartimaeus' prayer wasn't answered straight away, and immediately men jumped on him and opposed him. But he never gave up on Christ, and he cried all the more. How earnestly do we need to cry all the more for our salvation? You know, secondly, his cry was powerful. You know, whenever Bartimaeus cried the first time, he didn't cry for wealth or fame or glory. He wasn't crying to improve himself. He wasn't crying for to be a king and to live forever. Nothing as substantial as this. But Bartimaeus, he cried for mercy. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew his Savior. And he knew of the blessing that his Savior could bestow. And yet all he asks for is mercy. Essentially, all Bartimaeus was asking for was help. How many of us are in sin today? We've heard of the Savior passing by, and we know that Christ is amongst us. We've felt his presence in meetings. We've felt troubled of our sin. And for such a long time, we've wanted to get right with Christ, and yet we don't. We fail to cry out unto him, and we fail to give that powerful, heart-searching cry of, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, Lewis read a verse earlier on, and it was Genesis 6 and the verse 3. God's Spirit will not always strive with man. Let me ask you, how long are you going to sit in that pew, sit in sin, come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, attend the prayer meetings, attend the youth meetings, attend every meeting the church has to offer, and not get your soul right with God? How many times do we need to hear of the Savior passing by before we cry? You know, God's Spirit will not always strive with man. Bartimaeus knew that pretty soon Christ would have walked on. Christ would be to where he had always said he was going to. And Bartimaeus would be no more able to cry out unto God. And so he wastes no time in crying unto God, Thy Son of David, have mercy on me. Why are we waiting today when we've been given the same time frame? God's Spirit will not always strive with man. It is time to seek the Lord. Thirdly, his prayer was personal. Bartimaeus didn't care about the crowds around him. He didn't care about anyone who would hear his prayer, but he cried because he knew his personal need for salvation. It's not wrong to pray for yourself. We have a prayer list and we pray for those on it, but we must remember to pray for ourselves. Increase our borders and enlarge our coasts. Our soul is the most valuable thing we have, and it's only when the Savior looks upon it will we be made anew. As Christ passes by, even tonight, will we cry, Thy Son of David, have mercy, or will we let him walk away? You know, we know that Christ can heal Bartimaeus. We know that he can heal Bartimaeus and he can stop and he can restore his sight. And how foolish we would think Bartimaeus was if he never cried. Yet how foolish the sinner is who sits in the pew convicted of sin and does not get their soul right with God. Bartimaeus cried because of his woeful condition. I wonder tonight, and I pray tonight, is there someone in that meeting out there tonight, and your soul is not right with God, and you know it's not right with God? I say it again, it is time to seek the Lord. You know, finally, we've considered his condition and his cry. I want to look at his cure. Bartimaeus sat in filth without hope and without remedy. He was completely alone, no one else to help him. I'm sure that he'd sought many a doctor, many a physician, many a wise man, and asked what could be done about his eyesight. What can be done to bring me out of this everlasting darkness? And no one had been able to fix his soul. No one had been able to fix his eyes. No one had been able to set him in the life that he wanted to live. But Bartimaeus had heard of the man Christ Jesus. You know, as he sat every day between these two great cities, he heard men walking to and fro. And as those men walked, they were discussing the things going on. They were discussing their work. They were discussing what was going on in the country. But most of all, they were discussing the work of this man, Christ Jesus. Bartimaeus had sat and he'd heard all of the stories. He'd sat and he'd heard of how Jesus taught in the temple, of how he had called men onto his service, and how he had turned the water into wine at the wedding feast at Cana. He'd listened to the conversations in Israel about this man's work, life, and ministry. And unlike all of the others who simply talked of a man doing these works, Bartimaeus saw the God behind it. Bartimaeus saw that only Jesus, only God's Son, only Christ, our Savior, could have done this. And he sat and eagerly waited for Christ. You know, whenever Bartimaeus heard that Christ passed by, and when the multitude told him that Christ was passing by, he wastes no time in crying out. Bartimaeus immediately remembers all of the scripture that he'd been taught growing up, all of the scriptures that he'd heard men talking about, all of the words that had come from the very mouth of Christ came rushing back, asking, it shall be given unto you. Your Father knoweth the things ye have need of before ye ask him. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And finally, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Bartimaeus didn't have the gift of sight, but he listened. And he listened to these words of Christ, and he knew that if he asked Christ, his God, for mercy, it would be bestowed unto him. He knew that soon his opportunity with Christ would be over. His time with God, his troubles with God would soon be over, and he'd be lost again. And he'd be at that wayside and that point of total loneliness for the rest of his life. And so he cries unto God. He had a limited amount of time, and he believed that Christ would heal him. He sought his Savior because he knew his Savior was his only cure. He knew his Savior had more power than any doctor, than any wise man, than any physician that could ever even boast at being able to fix blindness. You know, there's a hymn, and it says, Jesus is passing this way today. Now, the verb passing implies that pretty soon he'll be away. Pretty soon we'll be left in our darkness. The Bible talks about the one damnable sin being the final rejection of the Holy Spirit. Our response to this meeting tonight dictates where we will spend our eternity. You've heard that you need to be saved. You've heard that you need to call upon God and that He alone can cure you. But what will you do with that information? Our response tonight will be one of two. Either we will look to Christ, recognize His power, recognize His glory, recognize what He has done for us, and give our lives over to His service, or we will walk away. We will let Christ pass us by, and we will walk away from the only God who's able to fix us and able to heal us. If we cry out to the Savior tonight to deliver us, He will answer that prayer. I wonder, what's your condition tonight? Can you honestly sit and tell me that you're a child of God, that you're living for the Lord every single day, every opportunity that there is to serve, you're taking it? Or must you confess that, like Bartimaeus, you're sitting in darkness and you're completely and utterly lost? The Savior is your cure. And praise God, He's with us tonight. Will you cry out unto your Savior? He is able to show us the light. He's able to restore the vision. I'm struck by the image of the disciples as they watch a blind man lift his head and look Christ Jesus in the eye. They watched a blind man do that. I wonder, as we pray tonight and as we close our eyes, will we open them as a sinner saved by grace, and Christ's face will be the first face that we see, and we will know where our eternity lies? Or will we simply let another night go by and we'll open our eyes to be subjected unto darkness once more? How long must you hear of Christ before you cry out? How long must you sit in darkness before you do something about it? Cry out unto God, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I wonder, will you set your soul aright even tonight?